Now, the only two things that we're concentrating on, because in my opinion are the two most important, are the fruit of the knowledge of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the booth. Now there's all kinds of other stuff, that the lighting ceremony, the water ceremony, the lulav, the, you know, on and on and on, that we could have looked at. The booth, I'll talk just a little bit tomorrow night. Tomorrow night the format is that we're going to get here. Hopefully everybody will be here and in place by 8, so try to get here a little bit before then. And we're going to have in the spirit, it's the last communion. The last bread and wine. Part of the wine will be the cup of sanctification, and part of it will be the bread. The reason for it is that after the Feast of Tabernacles, then everything is communion. In other words, everything that enters your mouth you're doing it in remembrance of Him. Everything, whether it's liquid or, you know, and the whole thing that we've talked about sustenance and worth. And that's solids and liquids. And so that'll be mentioned and talked about a little bit. And then all of the leaves on the booth represent all of your, you know, we'll take, there's a few flowers that really look sick now. And so those flowers represented any of your successes. I mean, there's not very many successes in this group, that's why we didn't have very many flowers. Most of them are just dead leaves. That's potential successes. And they have no root, and so they die. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. The tabernacle is burning is a symbolism of everything. Obviously, there's 25 different slices of looking at the mystery in the tabernacle. And so it's important that the people emotionalize, and I hope you've prepared them for it, because you'll be held accountable by God if you haven't, to the fullness of the meaning. Every time they break a piece of that, what's the matter? Well, it's the truth.
Be beaten with palm branches.
Anyway, the thing that I want to talk about to you, because this is the group that this should have the most impact on, and that is what's going to happen emotionally to you, and think on this until you actually do it, when you throw that pomegranate at the base of the altar. Now Jackie has assured us that these are great pomegranates and they explode when you hit the base of the altar. So she encouraged everyone to wear clothes that you don't mind getting stained. If you miss
that's why we made it so big.
You immediately
it's very low.
It's like missing the ground.
The earth will open up and swallow you.
Harry's the other guy that throws himself on the ground in repentance and misses.
Get me off this wall.
For stealth, if the Lord delays his coming, and I hope he doesn't, then you will now be looked at and judged by a different standard than you've ever dreamed of. And it assumes that you have emotionalized correctly and experienced that throwing at the base of the altar. And that's for those of you who are here tonight, we don't have any real visitors, then each one of us must exhort each other in the light that you have from what you're going to see tonight. In other words, the path is going to get a lot narrower now. Now, again, don't see the kids in their mother's milk. Let me just see the you. Chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. It says a scroll, really. Written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept so much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, and neither to look thereon. That's the last act of the seventh day, the weeping for your inability to look at the book. Now, what's in the book? Dun, 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 dun.
Have you read it?
Now he's going to take a break.
We'll be right back after these short
yeah. From our sponsor.
Do you want me to go on?
Yeah, please do.
Well, then let me hear from you. Let me send me some money. Send me some burnt offering.
Come on.
Oh, I did that, sure. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, mourn not, think not, consider not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." It's in the past tense. The book is opened. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now, do you remember what I've told you about the four beasts? The four beasts represent several things. The primary thing they represent are the four seasons, and they represent the four cardinal points of the compass. And as soon as the four beasts fall down, that represents that time and space have been overcome. The space being represented by the four cardinal points of the compass, and all, everything, that when we get to it, if we ever get to it, and the tabernacle and laying out of the tabernacle reveals this. But it's the falling down of time and the falling down of space and the falling down of the leadership of the 24 courses of priests, the elders, do you understand? In obedience, if the elder of the course of priests, of the 144th, you know, the total number, if the elder supplicates, then every one of the other courses has to supplicate. There's no, I mean, it would be like, you know, the type that we see of this is if you were in Mecca and what do you call that? The prayer tower, the word? The call came from the prayer tower that it was one of the times to worship, and you had to fall down with your face toward the the rock, and you were the only one standing, well, you wouldn't get by with it. You couldn't do it. Even if you didn't really believe, you'd have to fall down, because the pressures of that environment would force you. If you couldn't fall down, when the elder of that course fell down, you wouldn't be there, by definition.
Yeah.
Now, obviously then, if the burning of this tabernacle and the breaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil represents in the same way in us time and space. Now, there's other things that were done that fill out this stick figure, but we're not going to study those right now because this is enough. Now, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or fragrance, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, you understand, if every one of these could have a vial that were the prayers, the true prayer of the saints, that means that there, you got to hear that there hadn't been very many true prayers in all of time and in all of space. There's been a lot of praying to Baal. There's been a lot of praying to the wrong gods, to 1,000,000,000 gods within each one of you, but God didn't even hear them. And so they never entered the vials. They were just prayers to the prayers of self-seeking. Okay. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth or in the earth. Now, last night in Bananas, I talked about the word that we've talked about many times, agreement, meaning the word in agreement means harmony. And the idea that the universe is a symphony and that you are the players of the instruments in the symphony. And up till the point in which you can take that paradise apple and smash it at the base of the altar, you haven't even been playing the right song. So harmony was impossible. Now, these beasts and the elders and the 144,000, as we'll see from Revelation 14, somehow they're singing a brand new song that's never been heard. If you do the search in the scriptures about the song in the Psalms and in Isaiah, you find out that this is a song that nobody else can even hear. Primarily what's on that book, written in and out, within and without, on the scroll. There are many mysteries on that scroll. But primarily what's on that scroll in terms of your response to it is your notes for the music of this song. You understand me? Now, how do you get there from here then? How do you open? How do you see that scroll? There's only one way. You have to do it by faith. Who is blind but my servant? Who is perfect but he that is deaf? You can never, ever, ever again make a judgment based on your senses. That's the meaning of us throwing the paradise apple against the base of the altar. So that never again will you make a judgment about life in any dimension based on your perceived senses. Now, this is big, because you will be called every time you do. You will be slain as Agag was every time that you make a judgment based on your senses. That's why you take this paradise apple, the reason for the first fall, you now, by touching it, which was forbidden by Eve and Satan in their stupid understanding, you touch it, you take it in your hand, and you declare, I now have dominion over this, not because of a single thing I have done, but because he has dominion. Now you take it and you smash it, indicating for the first time an ability to live in a state by which you take absolutely no thought for yourself. At any time you do, even in the process of testifying, your legs are chopped off. Do you understand me? That's the new song. The new song that can only be heard by the ears of faith, the notes of it which can only be seen by the eyes of faith. In order for that to take place, all judgments that you have made and are continually making based on your sensory perception, they have to be thrown, destroyed. Now, even good ones, especially good ones, but anyone whatsoever. This is the only time Paul could have possibly said that it's a small thing if I am judged by you, for I judge not even mine own self, is if he had participated and felt and emotionalized this experience. I hope you understand this. I pray you understand. Now, you know, for the spiritual children, all we're doing is, well, it's a different phenomenon. But you never again have the right to make a statement in which you literalize any parable. In other words, there is no thing within all of your world, within time and space, that ever again is in a state of being of value or no value. You
know? Like what? Give a little example.
I'll give a perfect example. Harry's walking up the street. We're going to eat. Harry looks over and sees Becca and Sarah playing on the side of the Rutledge's house. Harry's impulse, they're playing by climbing on top of the air conditioner. Now, Harry literalizes the parable by, first of all, the first thing he did is he stopped. I mean, by the time I'm finishing the story, he's raping the daughter's granddaughter, the bank president's granddaughter in that earlier parable. The first thing he did is he stopped the impulse to go and talk to him.
I probably wouldn't.
The second thing he did was he placed a value, because, again, he stopped it because he thought he would be an asshole if he did. The second thing he did was he placed value on the air conditioner. You understand? They shouldn't plan it because they may break the air conditioner. Now, this is the hardest one, is the third thing he did is he placed value on Becca and Sarah because they may get hurt if they're playing on the air conditioner. All three of those are literalizing a parable. All three of those instances took Harry three levels away from faith. What was the level of faith then? The level of faith was an instant spontaneous response saying, get the fuck off the air conditioner. Now, I'm standing next to him. I may have said, Harry, you're a crab, you're an idiot, you're a sexton, you're a thing, you're this, you're that.
But he would,
faith doesn't care.
He would have already acted in faith and it wouldn't have mattered because you'd just be talking to him.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Now, no longer again ever literalizing the... Sarah's a parable, Becca's a parable, the air conditioner's a parable. The world is a parable. But if you... I mean, the world can never hear what I'm talking to you about because they're 50,000 levels below. They can't possibly understand a system of thought in which you gave no value to any of those things. The reason... Now let's go to 2 Timothy. No, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy, chapter 3. Well, let's stop a minute. Before we read this, I've got to remind you what Jesus said in Luke 16. You don't have to go there, but he said, you are they which justify yourselves among men. But God knows your heart. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Now, you got to know by now that anything that you value that is valuable to a Gentile is an abomination. I mean, flat out simple statement. Now, it's not smart to continue to live. I mean, if you're going to continue in this, you're better off committing suicide right now. Because God's standards after the set time are so great that you will be judged by what you have. You're going to be judged by a greater standard. You are they that justify yourselves among men, and God knoweth your heart. Now, the justifications, some of you have gotten so good at it that and so subtle that you don't even recognize when you're justifying yourself. The reason is the diamond has fallen in the street and it's so covered over with plastic you can't see the sparkle. Now, how is it covered with plastic? It's covered by plastic by your considerations of it. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knows your hearts. Those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Now we're talking big time abomination. Now, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Without controversy, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Now just close your book. Once you participate in knowledge, in emotion, in revelation, of taking that paradise apple and smashing it against the base of the altar, then you are without an excuse to ever again justify yourself the slightest. Now for some of you, that's going to mean you have to keep your mouth shut. And then you get in trouble for that too. But we have to make it so hard on each one of us if we see the other justifying themselves that it becomes the Third World War if necessary. Nothing else in our spiritual life is more important. Nothing. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I was thinking about the part of our conversation the other night when I said that nobody, you know, nobody can really stand up to you. And I was thinking about why that's the case. I mean, and you know, it's like, you know, it seems like when you're in a conflict, you're ready to go all the way with it, and that's what you're talking about here. I mean, if there's a thing, laying down your life is willing to go to the point of death over an issue.
Right. Of every issue. There's no issue that is unimportant. Now that means the other side of that coin is it's total freedom. Total freedom. That's the new song. You never once have to consider the implications of an explosion. It may take you to the very edge of divorce. It may take you to the very edge of being cast out of this body. It may take you to the very edge of whatever your worst fear is. But if it isn't there, I mean, you understand? Nothing else in the universe, not your jobs, not your families, not this Bible study, not the body, not anything in time and space is more important than your testing of this issue. There can never again be an excuse to consider. Now, that doesn't mean when you prophesy and explode, that doesn't mean you're not going to get in trouble. I guarantee you, you're going to be a spectacle, you're going to be a fool, you're going to be made as the filth of the world, you're going to be the offscouring of all things, your parents are going to hate you, they're going to think you're crazy. Those of you who are protecting your lives by that aspect are going to be wasted. But if you don't do it, you're dead meat. It's total freedom. If you ever again protect your ass, there's no telling what will happen. Can all of you say amen to this?
Amen.
Not just shaking your head. Amen. We'll stop everything until you can say amen.
Say it again. I forgot.
When they were but few, even a few, and strangers, they went from place to place, from kingdom to people, to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing now unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. That's you, without condition, without protection, naked and unashamed, exploding every second that which the Lord has placed there, never again second guessing, never again internalizing, never again considering it, never again framing mischief in your mind by the law, casting down imaginations in all the high places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why is he at the obedience of Christ? Because from this moment forward, every thought is Christ. Woe to he who is prudent. Woe to he who is careful in his way. Woe to he who considers carefully. Oh, that's just me doing that. No, it's not. It's Satan himself within that vessel. Oh, but if I do that, if I say that, my kids will hate me. My parents will disown me. Who cares? My husband will divorce me. Oli will kick me out of the body. Who cares? Your very salvation is dependent on the explosion and the trust of the divine impulse at every second within you. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The only way you'll do this is that you fear God more than you fear the faces of men.
That's for sure.
And if I haven't been successful in convincing you of the fear of God, then your fear toward God has been taught by the precepts of men anyway, and it's all a waste of time, and you might as well go do your own thing. Fear before him, all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And we say, save us, O God of our salvation. Never again, oh, save us, God, but here, let me take care of this first. Let me get it right in my mind before I say it. Let me consider the implications of all these things before they're spoken. Let me get it right so I don't offend anybody. Let me walk in the fear of men and not in the fear of God. Oh, but my parents, they won't like this. They might think Oli is weird. If I ever hear that again from of you, God help you. You're right, I'm weird. I'm the weirdest thing the world has ever seen since the day of... And you better be equally weird. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. sing unto the Lord a new song. The old song is dull. It's boring. It's boring the shit out of me, and just think what it's doing to God. If you're afraid of me, you better be. You better get it worked out so you not only know the fear of God. You understand how boring your old songs are? You understand how boring? You know what the subject of every one of your songs thus far has been? You. Sing unto the Lord a new song. That's the meaning of the eighth day. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 42.
More to say.
The only way that there is no such thing in the human race as an impulse that isn't from God. It's the consideration of the impulse that's evil. Because the consideration of the impulse says that I am separate from the Holy One of Israel. And therefore I have to protect myself and guard my words. Every consideration that is made, no matter how spiritual you think it is, no matter how innocent, no matter how it may seem that you're protecting someone, is in reality augury, sorcery, rebellion, robbery. No, it's the fruit of the consideration that's murder. And the reason is that you place yourself above the Holy One of Israel. And you become God's counselor. You understand? Okay. Behold. Behold is a word that means consider, look at, analyze, if you will. What?
It just struck me. It how scary it is. The prospect, the idea of acting on my impulses, not checking my impulses, it was like a cold chill through me. How scary. It's like I'm standing on the edge of a cliff and I have to step off the cliff over and over and over.
Well, let's start in Isaiah 41, verse 21. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Now, you've got less than 24 hours to bring forth your cause, produce your cause or bring forth your strong reasons.
I've been entertaining this cause of brain damage. I don't know where this is coming from, but lately I feel like I'm real slow, you know, and it's hard to grasp things. And I hear and hear and I don't catch on. I can't remember half the time. Doug sits here and he's got an answer in a moment, and I, you know, plug her or something. And I'm going through this thing now. Let me see. I remember this toluene
experience I used to have running drugs, and maybe I'm brain dead or brain damaged or something.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everything that has taken place in your life to get this point has caused you to be able to fulfill the office that God has for you, not the one you think you should have.
Yeah, I think that when He is and I ain't, there's no such thing as there's no brain.
Yeah, so, my point is, it doesn't matter. It may be.
Oh, okay.
There may be total brain damage. It doesn't matter. You may be brain dead. Your brains may look like cottage cheese. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. When we're talking to Chris, you know, he regards intellect so highly and goes and searches out these things. And we're talking in talking about the booth, you have to come to a point that you say, even if I don't know, I can't put my own clothes on. There's something else going on. There's something greater than that.
And it's the concept that you know that we've been talking about. It's that I may be brain dead, but I'm the Lord's brain dead.
Yeah.
I may be crazy, but I'm the Lord's crazy. I may be a bastard, but I'm the Lord's bastard. Because that then is the beginning of the new song. The old song gives consideration to I'm crazy, or I'm brain dead, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I should be. That's all past.
I'm remembering there haven't been a lot of Joe Bob things that I've read that I thought were really something, but there was one in the reader's mailbag thing, a guy wrote to John and was talking about how much enjoyment he got out of Joe Bob and how he now spends his life in a cancer ward, in a VA hospital, that he had gotten cancer from HR. And John's response to the guy just blew me away, because what he said to him, one of the things he said to him was, it's great that they didn't get anything that was important. It's only your body.
Okay. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Less than 24 hours, 23 hours, 22 hours and 55 minutes you've got. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Now you understand he's mocking you. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Yeah. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work of nothing. An abomination is he that chooseth you. Well, you got it then. I mean, either that's true or there's something else. I mean, it doesn't say. In other words, you have to read this as though you're reading it the second before you die physically. Your whole life is nothing. It's the leaves on that booth. All you're doing is, you know, there's no root. The axe has been laid to the root. There's nothing there. If he isn't there in your abandonment, again, I will tell you, go commit suicide, because you don't have anything left. If he can't squeeze honey out of the rock, i.e., produce your heart's desire that you would fulfill that destiny for which you were created, if he, you haven't been able to do it, if he can't do it, then this is worthless and you're wasting your time and I'm a fool. I may be a fool anyway, but I have raised up one from the north and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. In other words, in one of the Psalms of Ascent, he's molded our mistakes as the potter is molding the clay, so that your office is perfectly fulfilled if you only can just explode. Be you, finally, once. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, He alone is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth our words, your words. The first shall say to Zion, Behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. He shall grow up before you as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, but only in your abandonment, only in your spontaneity. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Now that's your position. Before, you've spent all these years learning that you couldn't answer a word. You haven't learned anything you weren't supposed to. Everything that has ever happened in your life is to prepare you for tomorrow night. That's what's the goal. So you can take that paradise apple, touch it, see the dominion over it, see it's a, and throw it and smash it, so that you can then consider the birds and consider the lilies and live as they do. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. You gotta know that by now. Behold now instead of all that, now behold my servant, whom I alone uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He alone shall bring forth judgment. Remember, the only judgment that is ever used in here, while time yet exists, is that it's finished. He alone shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Judge now with righteous judgment. See what he sees. Be pulled out of time and space so that you can see from the perspective of the prophets. So that the wisdom, so that the two witnesses can be seen in you, wisdom and prophecy. Wisdom and prophecy. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not quench. What that means is there is no cause worthwhile for him to expend his efforts on in the domain of time and space.
But it's also the things that you would judge worthless. Right. Even though you don't, you know, judge it and then toss it away. It's these things, the smoking flax doesn't really... It's not really working. When you don't judge it, you just... It's there.
He shall bring forth judgment, righteous judgment, unto truth. Truth and judgment are the same thing. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Understand that? Do you know what it means again when you can say for me to live is Christ, then this is your inheritance. You shall not fail, nor shall you ever be discouraged. You shall be naked, but without shame. You shall never again be confounded. There is the promise that you will understand all things. That there is no thing on the face of the earth that dares to touch you or do you harm. That there is nothing that can take place in your life save by the directed hand of God. And is all that it takes for you to see. If you don't like it, okay, you see it's from God. As soon as you see it's from God, it's over. As soon as you take your own covering, i.e. what can I do about this? And rest in where you are. And say, thank you, Father, for I can praise you in the midst of it. Then its purpose for being there, which was chastisement, is instantly gone. Can you see the vanity of trying to change your life? My God in heaven. Now, the enemy is going to hit you at the weakest points. He's ever and always going to try to come. He's going to, and the moment you give back the slightest arena, then he'll have the whole land. It's either all or nothing. There's no gray anymore. It's either all back. I've got to take my life back. I've got to worry about me. I've got to start perfecting the flesh again. I've got to start perfecting what I can see with my senses, or it's all grace. No in between. Never again after tomorrow night. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment, righteous judgment, in the earth, in your earth. And the isles are all the people that because of their need, because of their failure, have risen out of the waters of the human race. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people, all people, and the spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee, you, for a covenant. That's now you can finally understand what it means to take the bread and the wine. It means that you become the covenant to the isles. Give, and give some more. I give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. For me to live as Christ. For me to live as Christ. To open the blind eyes. Hallelujah. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. If there's one lesson you know, it's that verse. You've been prepared for this hour. My only job was to equip you for the work of the ministry. There's one thing you know, and he's not going to give his glory to another. And he's not going to give his praise to your graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. They're done. They're represented, all of your former things. And a former thing is anything that you have considered, thought about. The former things are in that booth. They are on the booth. Now, during the 7 days of time, anyone who touched the booth, in, i.e. breaking off a branch, I mean, it would be better for them to spit on God's face. In the former times, the booth was adorned. They had pomegranates hanging in it, they had fruit hanging in it, they had vessels of wine hanging in it, they had all kinds of things. But for the 7 days, They could not be touched.
That's like self-inspection for leprosy.
You mean they couldn't touch?
Cutting off.
They couldn't eat them. They couldn't use anything they had they used for adornment until the end of the seventh day. Then before the fire, they could take off.
But they put stuff and hung it around, but they couldn't...
Couldn't use it.
Couldn't eat
it. Once it was placed on the booth, it was as unto the Lord.
What does that mean?
No self-circumcision.
Well, what it means is that everything that, all of those adornments that you had, they've been fine up to now. All the things that you've done to adorn your booth, you know, now is what it says in Ecclesiastes 9, that now your work is accepted. Just be it. Okay, watch. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song. It's only one reason. God's bored with your old song.
Yeah, we're bored.
And his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains, let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise to the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man in you. He shall stir up jealousy. He shall use you to stir up jealousy. Like a man of war, he shall cry, yea, roar, he shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden, now, I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. What it says is in another reading that you've read your readings is, now will I arise. I will make waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. Now, let me come to what I was talking about earlier. I will bring the blind. The first act of Jesus Christ was to, on the eighth day, was to heal the man blind from birth. Remember? His first act of the eighth day, sight was restored by clay made out of the ground with the spittle of him whose breath had at first breathed life into the clay. This was then washed away in the pool of Siloam, from whose waters have been drawn on the Feast of Tabernacles, that which symbolized the new life, manifested on the eighth day. Who is blind? And that's what his saying was on John. Remember the first saying in John? On the eighth day? Said after the and then after the Pharisees had cast him out, the blind man had he healed. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, my eyes are opened. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you would have had no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not yet known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. When you throw that paradise apple at the base of the altar, you're throwing away your sight, your smelling, your touching, your hearing, your tasting, all your senses. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed from now on that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, You are our gods. Not one of you are dumb enough to say that, but you say it by your actions. Now hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servants? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, Restore. Who among you now will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yea, he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. That's what that phenomena is tomorrow night. That's the world being burned, and they know it not. They continue on in their own way. Don't be among them. Don't be as anymore resisting the divine impulse. Don't evermore believe the lie of separation. Explode. No matter what it costs you, ever and always. Amen?
Amen. It sounds like what we will be doing tomorrow night is the same as Noah closing the door of the ark.
Amen.
We're all just like the blind man. Jesus put the veil on his eyes. It's like.
But we have to say we're blind.
Yeah.
So then we can be, when he puts the spittle, when he's on the clay in our eyes, then we see through. We never hear, we only hear with righteous.
Was this one of the readings
that
they read?
That servant who was blind and deaf, I can imagine that he doesn't respond to what they said to him, or the faces or anything. He is a messenger of God, and he is that which he had.
The eye is single. Why? Because you're blind. Amen?
Yeah, it's funny when you hear that stuff, like, a lot of times there's a fear reaction, but you got all them to be able to do it. but if you're in that place of him, there's not even that thought there. You're just delivering the message.
You're just free. I mean, if you can hear, this is the message of pure and perfect liberty. It's the message, again, that we've talked about. Up until now, you've only hoped for something. You don't want to hope for shit anymore. Be it. Don't search for the will of God. Be the will of God.
through.
Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.
Work it out.